There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Oh, la, 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 la. Don't know why, but I'm dying to try. I want to kiss the man. Whoa, whoa. Love to kiss the man. Oh, we were recording? Oh, great.
Kiss the man.
I love to kiss the man.
You would. You love kissing men, and I know it. Because we're on the road this weekend, Indianapolis and Urbana, Illinois.
No, I don't like kissing men in Urbana. I don't want to kiss men in Urbana. Unless, of course, you've bought the VIP ticket.
Yeah, and then we're going to change Urbana's name to Urmana because we're going to be sucking tongues off of the dudes in your city.
This is a great intro. I'm going to suck a tongue. I'm going to suck a tongue again, but you have to buy a ticket to Side Stories Live.
We have about 50 tickets left, apparently. So let's get those fuckers sold. Let's have some fun, and let's fucking suck some goddamn man mouth.
Yeah, we're going to suck some man mouth. Yeah. And we're here sucking man mouth every week here on Side Stories. I'm your host, Henry Zabrowski. I'm sitting here with the filled with man mouth Ed Larson. I don't like it. We're already going to get we've already gotten complaints about the mouth noises. Well, your noises of your, if you eating mouth with your mouth.
Yeah. The whole show is mouth noises, technically. The show doesn't exist without mouth noises.
What is talking but mouth noises?
Exactly. By the way, big news today on the at the old Larson Rosing household.
Yes.
Our boy's losing his balls today. Ernie's getting clipped.
Good.
He's done, dude.
I'm glad. Cut his balls off.
I think it already happened by this point.
Champ's getting his balls removed, too. Yep. Everybody, that means not a single man in this room has testicles.
That's right.
And it's really nice.
That's right, man. I swallowed really nice. Mine years ago.
Hey, got to. So anything to fucking cut down on some of the heat, my friend. But you know who doesn't have to worry about getting rid of their balls?
Who?
I did want to do a bit of a follow-up because I asked a question to the audience about ball torture.
Yes.
Because of this story, we were talking about people that get their balls tortured.
This was 2 weeks ago we talked about
this. I believe this. And I never got to it because I got a dom that reached out and said, because I also didn't know, because I was talking about CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy that I go through. And then I saw this email that was like CBT. And I was like, oh, what's this going to be about? And then I clicked on it and it was all about how much kicking and tugging balls can take. And then I realized, CBT is also short for
combined ball torture,
cock and ball torture,
cock and ball torture.
Yeah, so
you should tell your therapist that.
He's gonna, you don't think that's my opener? You don't think that's not what I'm leading with hardcore? How many cocks and balls have been through here today?
It's funny that on Wikipedia there are like, make sure you want to click on the right CBT.
Oh, they're different. They're different. But basically this dom came out and it said that they did research into how much you can torture somebody's balls, and you can, apparently it takes 110 pounds of pressure to rupture a testicle. And a lot of times the girls either pull back or, like, whenever the dom's gonna do it, thank you Rob, the Wikipedia for cock and ball torture does not cut back. I do.
It is bizarre. I have never seen genitals on Wikipedia other than in this room.
This
room, I've seen genitals on Wikipedia constantly. It's like, to me, in this room, Wikipedia's all genitals.
This is like, we're now looking at the Wikipedia entry for the Humbler,
ooh,
which is a BDSM physical restraint device, a cock and ball bondage toy used to restrict the movements of the submissive partner. Oh, God, just get it off of here.
I'll give it to Chalamet. He needs a little humbling.
He knows.
He does.
I'm just looking through that guy's butthole like it's a fucking telescope. Let's take this back.
Wow.
So the dumb.
I'm blown away by all those options of photos.
It really is. It's wow.
I think one would have done the trick.
We were talking about Rosa Parks before the show. There's
one's all bloody.
There's literally one picture of Rosa Parks on her Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
There is, I'm looking at it, four tortured balls and dicks in a mosaic.
God.
At the top of the article.
Yeah, I will say that that one cock is as big as a bus seat.
I don't need any of this. I don't need any of this. So, come back to it. So the Dom was saying, Because the problem is that we were talking about, like, why didn't guys get their balls destroyed every single time they do one of these videos? And largely, she was saying it just takes a lot more strength than you think to kick at that level of force in order to destroy the balls. Mm-hmm. But then, largely, I had other doms say, which I thought is interesting, is that these guys talk a big game a lot. And they like the lead up and the talking about.
Yeah.
But then, more often than not, once they get to the advanced CBT, that's when the guys go, safer, no, I'm good.
Oh, it's like right before a drunk guy gets the shit kicked out of him.
Finally. Yeah, you're like, okay, you know, this is you're a pussy, you know, you can't even fight. You're a pussy, you can't fight. Why are you fighting a guy? Why are you fighting a guy? I do think it's like that, that they get really deep into it, and then they just can't, they're not ready for it.
Mm. CBT.
$300 an hour for my fucking CBT, but I don't even, I could, at least I could sit afterwards.
I'm going to get it mixed with my THC, and this really end my fucking fertility.
Also, big ups to Body Glide.
What's Body Glide?
It's Chub Rub.
Chub Rub?
For fat guys.
Oh, really?
It's an anti-chafing stick.
Stick? I want some.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
It's right there. You can get it straight from China.
Wow.
China
they
loves it.
They got big guys there?
We know what it is. No, you, with China, it's not that they got big guys, slippery guys.
Oh.
Slippery guys. That's what they like. They
Speaking
really...
of which, in Indianapolis, you can see us at the Slippery Noodle.
Will you? Will we? Will you? I'm going to try to get Ed to go with me after the show over to the Slippery Noodle. If you are the owner of that establishment, hold us a table.
Whoop.
Whoa, there's a rigatoni's in a society of me. Oh, whoa. Is that a beauty? You got to go to the Slipper. Oh, God, we got to go.
I've never been.
That's where the guy tried to show me his penis.
Oh.
And he gave me these Slippery Noodle.
That is funny that it happened at the Slippery Noodle.
Oh, yeah. All right. Big cover-ups to talk about today.
Are you? So we're going to start with aliens?
I want to talk a little bit about this story, is that I was down on Disclosure a couple of weeks ago.
You hate it.
Well, it's because I believe, truthfully, that we're past the point of needing government disclosure. I think that that's silly. I think that that's why I'm anti it. I know before I was kind of bummed about aliens and Trump and all that kind of stuff. Honestly, what I'm not bummed. I'm more just saying we don't need disclosure.
I mean, ever since the drones, like 15 months ago, like I've lost interest personally.
Well, it's because the problem is that we're going to get no answers.
Yeah.
Any answer that they give you is going to be a fake answer. There's no way they're going to give you a real answer. It's not going to happen. So whatever it is he says in a speech is going to be completely fake.
Also, he just doesn't understand words.
Anything. No, and the guys around him, I was just saying, so that big, you remember there was that all the hullabaloo for the, oh, disclosure's coming, and then nothing?
Yeah.
The reason why is because there was a massive pushback from the generals that are supposed to be doing the disclosing. Again, we're hitting into the world where their evangelical religious beliefs will not let them talk about aliens because to them, it'd be a demon.
Oh.
And that if it not be a demon, that the only thing that they know is a demon. And if it was not a demon, then God would issue them directly, but not, then it was to be a demon.
Oh, so there's no, they don't believe in sky demons.
No, well, no. They utterly believe in sky demons. That's why they're afraid of them. They're literally so afraid of the aliens that they don't want to talk about them because they think that they're Jesus's enemies.
Has anyone tried to like Jimmy the zipper in the back of Stephen Miller's head and see what happens?
I would love to get a hold of that zipper. I got a couple ideas for that fucking zipper.
I saw the news tossing around the words, what was it? Interdimensional beings?
Yeah.
They have no idea. So the Pentagon is completely pulled back. They're just pulled back. They don't want to deal with it because they think it's icky. It is much how like guys didn't want to fully investigate like crimes inside of the homosexual scenes in the 1970s because they thought it was icky. Yes. It's like the same thing. They literally don't want to be involved in it because they think that they're going to get demon stink on them. But there is real disclosure actually happening.
Okay.
So I got this. This is where the disclosure should be. It is coming from the people. And this thing is extremely interesting. Doesn't quite, I think, okay. I'm going to try to explain this in a way that makes sense.
Please, because I need it.
So in the 1980s, our egg-shaped purveyor of truth, Stanton Friedman, was a part of MUFON. He was a part of all these ufologists that was trying to bring an era of large FUPA'd rationality to UFOs. He was a nuts and bolts guy. He only believed in nuts and bolts aspect that they are actual physical crafts that come from another part of the galaxy. And he firmly believed that there was a U.S. government cover-up about them trying to retroactively figure out technology from these devices, and they were lying to the people. And Stanton Friedman was the champion of a release of a series of what were supposed to be top secret documents labeled MJ-12. Now, the idea is that there was a group. So it's called the 12 was a group of people that had what was called majestic clearance, which was the tippity top secret clearance that you could have.
Okay.
Right. This, again, we don't know if it's real or not. It was a hazy thing. And this group of 12 wrote this essentially report to the government explaining all of the various ramifications of UFOs, the things inside of them, what it would be like to retrofit their technology, and how do we handle it socially. Like, they had like a whole breakdown. All this stuff came out in the 80s. It has largely been debunked.
Okay.
Most people believe at this point that they were faked material that was put out in the 80s version of the intranet, like the old internet, like when it was before it was just like in like boards, that was like a game that was played, and then it came out. Stanton Friedman tried to make a big deal about it, ruined his life, all of it. He wrote a bunch of books about it.
He didn't ruin his life. He started MUFON.
He died in an airport. Anybody that dies in an airport, that's sad.
Carrie Fisher died in an airport.
It is sad. I wish she died at home.
Yeah.
So this guy came out. This guy wrote a Substack. Everybody would love Substack. But this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This guy started like re-looking at the MJ-12 documents, I guess literally just to waste his time.
Yeah.
And he discovered something fascinating.
It was actually MJ-13.
No, that's just that's a code name.
It's funny you went there because I was thinking cartels.
Oh, wow. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's our brand.
Yeah, 13 also, we know that number's too big for him.
Two wolves inside of you. So the Majestic 12s, he noticed that. So this guy was going with the stuff, and they said that they had this sort of like stamp on it. And he noticed each one had a stamp on it with a number. 834021. It was like, whatever. What is this? So he decided to just run that through the CIA FOIA portal.
And then Jenny picked up. 675309.
Yeah, that's the problem. You missed the last number.
Yeah.
Now you just got to jerk off to the sound of the tone. All right, so this guy sounded like, oh, it's not just some random number. It's actually connected to something.
Is it a star?
It's connected to 345 pages of released paperclip intelligence documents.
Okay. Have you read those?
You fucker. But no, right? These were declassified. So these were declassified, these documents. So all of the Operation Paperclip, MK Ultra shit, like MK Ultra, we got to remember, we did not know about MK Ultra until Clinton was president.
Okay.
He was the one that released a bunch of anything that was available, he released that.
I had no idea.
Yes. So that's new, essentially. These documents from Operation Paperclip, when we whitewashed all this stuff with the Nazis,
yeah,
didn't actually become declassified until 2022.
Hold on. So we didn't know about Wernher von Braun until 2022?
I'm just saying a new batch came out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right? So it's still coming out. And so what this person understood is that they were all sort of connected to the same batch, this extremely important batch. Now they see here, so not surprised, like, they realize that you could look at, if you look at the paperwork, it is in fact CIA JIOA paperclip. It's a document that has an MJ-12 written on it.
Okay.
That is in the Operation Paperclip stuff. So that means whatever's in the quote unquote fake documentary and all these fake documents are actually
in a real document.
The same stamps are on a bunch of real documents.
So MJ-12 did exist.
If so, it's just we're seeing for the very first time, maybe, that the documents are real. Not that MJ-12 is real, that the documents might be real. And what that might even mean, which is we might be looking at a disinfo campaign that is as old as the entire conspiracy theory itself, right? What if we are in a world where that was faked back then? And it was put into all of this stuff as a part of a disinformation campaign to make people that got access to this look silly and stupid.
And when was MJ-12? Was that like back in like...
The 40s and 50s.
So this is like after World War II, after Mussolini sold us the bullshit. This is Roswell time.
This is Roswell time, after Roswell and after all of that. Okay. So this would be, because I believe this article, technically the things came, it's just...
I'm starting to remember some of this stuff.
Right? It started to sink in. You just lost like one like bass player that was in the, like, that was on Osmium. You know what I mean? You just lost one. But dude, like, there was another one. So there was another number, A-1762.1 was another one that they looked up, and it popped up on another document that's legit.
Okay.
I'm just saying that it's fascinating. And they are, it seems to be right now at the very top, it says there was like one document that says approved for release that didn't come out until 20 years later. And the big thing on it, it says CIA. UFOs.
Six
like,
letters.
Literally, dude. CIA, UFOs on this thing that's like, that's what this document's about.
That's fun.
It's just...
And that's like on a post-it they put on the front of it?
Yes. Yes. So... This is well, we the can't, disclosure.
I know, but we can't sit here and like believe a post-it note.
It's... on the FOIA, so they scanned it with it, right?
Yeah.
So this comes from the FOIA request.
Yeah.
So this comes from the CIA like this. It was scanned like this.
And it says like official record copy below it.
Yes.
Cool.
So it's one of those weird things. That's actually disclosure, buddy.
So.
Maybe.
Does this... not to throw you off, because I know you're on this and it's fucking awesome. Does this have anything to do with William McCaslin, who went missing?
This guy, the UFO general, that was the guy who was looking at all the UFOs who went missing.
Yes.
I don't know. I also think that this guy went missing. I think he very well could have just committed suicide.
But wouldn't they have found him by now?
Dudes are fucking awesome, man. Dudes hide all the time. If a father wants to go away, they do it all the time, man. He'll go out there, he'll blow his brains out by a fucking cliff and fall backwards. He knows what to do.
I mean, if the government was going to chip anybody, they would have chipped this motherfucker, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Wendy's got a chip.
Yeah.
He should have a chip. I think that, you know, what if the guy just as super sad as we all are that Trump's invaded his own territory and he's sad and he blew his brains out because it ruined his life work?
Interesting.
I can see that.
It was said that he has more sensitive secrets about the United States in his head than anyone else.
Not no more.
So you really believe he's just dead?
I think
you don't
that,
think he ran? You think he'd be like, would have like,
you don't think
defected
that,
to Russia or some shit?
You know what's funny? Snowden? I think it's the same thing that when you talk about with Epstein, obviously I think about it a little bit differently now, but I think that let's say those secrets weigh heavily on a person.
Yeah.
I think you could obviously have you. I think that it would make a lot of sense that you might feel quite a bit of pressure.
Then why if you not have tell more, everyone right before you off yourself?
Because you have the pride of being a loyal patriot that took his secrets to the grave.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it is. It's like the real patriots don't talk. Real patriots are fully brainwashed. You know, and like that's why they're always like, where's the fucking whistleblowers and
but
coming?
But it's connected because apparently he was working with fragments from Roswell.
Maybe. Or he was told there were fragments from Roswell.
He was in Ohio.
It's a long way from New Mexico.
Yeah.
But it's also, maybe he was told they were. Maybe it's all a big old lie. Maybe again, maybe it's hard. Maybe he got, who knows? We don't know yet. Maybe he got a diagnosis of being extremely sick. That's quite possible. Like, how many times guys do that?
Yes.
They were trying to do that with Hunter S. Thompson. They were trying to reopen his case and stuff. And it's like, the motherfucker wrote that he would not live anymore if he couldn't walk anymore. The second he couldn't walk anymore, he committed suicide.
Yeah. There it is.
Dude, suck. Right? Yeah. Dudes get sad. And instead of doing something about it, blow their brains out. Okay? That's what guys do.
What's it going to take for you to do it?
Well. That new Josh Gad, Chris Farley movie might be coming out soon.
You lost too much weight.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about imagining that moron trying to recreate the comedy of Chris Farley in today's movie. I'm not even going to get into it.
I'd be down to watch him fall through a bunch of tables.
It's not him. It's somebody else. He got somebody else to do it. It's not going to be good.
Oh, he's not in it.
No.
Oh. No. He's only, man, he just
he
like.
Wrote it, he wrote it. Which is worse.
Oh, he also wrote Spaceballs, too. Oh. And he's going to be John Candy's son. He's going to be
wow.
He's
going to
be Mog too.
Wow, I'm just as excited about that as I've ever been. Wow, Ed, you're right. I'm so much more excited about that.
Live from your grave.
See, that's not the only cover up that's in the news.
Oh yeah, what's going on with the other one?
So say what you will about 60 Minutes, right?
It's only an hour.
See, that's only about 58 minutes too long.
So they have done a bombshell report about the Havana Syndrome. You know, people...
They've done multiple.
Yes, but this last one is really fucking... It's a big old one. They had a CIA whistleblower come in and basically reveal that they more than believe that there is an active CIA cover-up about the Havana Syndrome. For those of you that don't know or remember, it all started around 2016. The reason why it's called the Havana Syndrome was because a group of diplomats, U.S. diplomats and spies, were in a hotel in Havana, and they all experienced what they believed this attack of a weapon that said that felt like an ice pick was going in their ear, that they couldn't think, their ears would get all popped. Some of them would feel like a clamp was going on the back of their neck.
Think it was like tricyclinosis for some bad pork or something?
I mean, it was directed and it happened really quickly, right? And then afterwards, they found that whatever had happened had broken or shattered the little bones around inside of their ears and all this kind of stuff all around this area. For a while, this has now been happening ever since. For the last decade, U.S. spies and diplomats have been complaining about the same thing, same series of symptoms,
yeah,
and kind of all of the circumstances around it.
It's permanent too, right?
Some of them have permanent damage. It's kind of like long COVID in a way, where they then came out, the CIA just said, it's a natural phenomena. It's what they called, which I thought was really interesting, they called it an AHI, which is an anomalous health incident.
Okay.
So what they'll do is they pay you that you'd get your insurance, your work insurance, but they still would not admit that it was like an attack, because the CIA decided that there's no way they could just make a weapon that does this thing and we wouldn't know about it, essentially. The CIA said that in order for them to make this microwave weapon,
yeah,
it would have to be the size of a tractor trailer, and we'd know it everywhere. It would take so much power, it would make all this noise, blah, blah, blah.
Do we have any secret organizations inside of America that would keep a secret from the CIA?
Eddie, no. But no, so what happened is that the DOD in 2024, I find this is very interesting. Biden's White House specifically did not believe in the CIA reports. So they went looking for it themselves. They ended up finding a guy within the DOD to go buy this microwave weapon off of a Russian mafioso.
Okay.
That could fit in a backpack. So they bought this thing that it could fit in a backpack. It does it. It gives off no heat. It takes very little power to do. It's some kind of thing that they figured out. The Russians have been working on this for a long time. We bought it. We started testing it. We are testing it on cows and shit. We're killing cows and stuff with it. And basically, they were ready to come out with all of this information. And this was all running up until the election. And then once the election happened, it just kind of went on the wastebasket, right? Like once they just said, fuck it, and they just left it alone. And what they're basically saying is, not only are they easy to make, but they're almost imperceptible. And now the mafias are just printing them, which means they're no longer secret technology.
Everyone could have them.
Now they're out.
So is this what we used in Venezuela? Or is this what we've been using against protesters?
I have no idea. I don't know. But we know that Trump called it the discombobulator, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And we do know.
He got that whole word out.
I think that he couldn't say the real word. He couldn't say the real word. We got the discombobulator. We've got, but those are sound. There are sound weapons. This is not a sound weapon.
Okay.
This is a microwave weapon. It cooks your fucking brain.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So it's one of those that we just got sitting around there, and 60 Minutes allowed this out. And I believe this is a bit of a limited, what we call in the intelligence services, a limited hangout in which they are going to give us this little fun controversy and this thing to do in order for us to talk about anything but
the Epstein trial
and the invasion of Iran, all of it. Yes. Now, this is the new distraction. So, all right,
it's a
so
cool distraction.
It's a good, I like this one.
Because we can't forget CBS runs 60 Minutes and they're, you know, they're
in Trump's pocket.
They're in Trump's pocket. They took out a fucking story about Venezuela recently.
Yeah, they are. So, the reason why we're getting this story is because this is an easier controversy for them to handle. Yeah. The CIA has decided, because they've always been the bad guys, right? They're always the fall guys.
Always.
The CIA is like, let us take the heat.
Yeah.
And that's it. No muss, no fuss. No one's talking about Epstein anymore, except they are.
Yes, very much so.
Very, very much so. And as a matter of fact, we are about to talk about it for the next 40 minutes.
Yeah, I hope you like it.
You fucking better.
You, they will. They people have been loving the Epstein stuff.
We've brought an expert on.
Yes, because I need this more than you need this. You're entrenched. You're an expert as well. But this next person is really who kind of like, I gotta say, she helps me through every crisis this country goes through. I look to her for leadership.
She is one of the smartest voices in comedy. Truly brilliant. Written for Sacha Baron Cohen. Had her own show on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Told stuff. This is our bit of, we're doing a bit of an update.
That's right. There's a new podcast out called The Epstein Files Book Club. It's hosted by Jenna Friedman and Elise Hugh. Please welcome Jenna Friedman.
It's an island adventure.
It's an island adventure.
Heck yeah, it's Jeffrey time.
It is funny that Whitney was his favorite comedian.
His only favorite comedian.
I know, I'm like, that just means you look young.
Yeah.
Are we rolling? Are we rolling? can be like the promo for the episode?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We can drop that right in. It is a pleasure to have this one of the 500 murderers in this country. That's what you are. One of the 500 fucking killers. That you belong in that fucking room in the mothership. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, I'll do the mothership.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're fucking
COVID's over.
Yeah.
Well, no,
I mean, it's.
But man, oh man, this lady know what's going on.
That's right. We're joined by Jenna Friedman, co-host of the Epstein Files Book Club. I'm very excited. I love your show that you do with Elise Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. I've listened to every episode. I caught up on the flight home yesterday.
Thank you.
You are a guiding light for a lot of us, and I appreciate you so much.
Also, your show on Adult Swim. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was my dream show, Soft Focus.
God, it was so fucking good. Do you still think about the Cannibal Cop?
Never. No, I might have blocked him. I'd done a couple interviews. Like, there was one I did with Ken Kratz.
Yes.
The Making a Murderer DA. And he would, like, text me every so often. I don't even want to talk about him because I don't want to, like, wake up his spirit.
Well, I was listening to your show on the way here, and I gotta say, Walt Disney World ad, right in the middle of it.
Really?
I thought it was a sketch on your show, because
okay.
It was a bunch of children going down rides and stuff like that.
Thank you for bringing it up. Okay, so I've never done a podcast. There was a moment, I remember in 2009, I had done the Glasgow Comedy Festival. Mark Maron was there. He had just started his podcast, and he was like, do you want to come up to my hotel room and record an episode of my podcast? And I was like, yeah, right. Your hotel room to record your podcast? And I didn't. He did have me on recently, whatever. And then the next day announced that he was shutting down his podcast. Sorry. Sorry, I won't
good
talk
work.
About it.
Honestly, it's fine. It's fine. It works.
I know.
No,
he's got a
one
really
less podcast
big fan
is good
base.
For us.
Okay. Anyway. So, but I've not done a podcast. And then when the second batch of files dropped, the only person talking about it was Jake Tapper. I'm no longer on Twitter because it's a whole story, but I had an account that got erased twice.
I have it
Elon.
Right here in my notes.
Well, because Twitter used to be, before Elon took it over, like it was like the water cooler where you got your news. When I was living in New York, if I heard a sound, I'd be like, what's that? And Twitter would tell me because everybody was on it. It was like a public good. And so I'm not as like clued into the news in the way that I was, or the public discourse around the news. And then Tapper posted something, Jake, whatever. We're not like friends, but he posted, I think, pieces that were in the files that the DOJ have taken off out of the files, but the allegations were so damning, and some of them were not credible, and the FBI wrote not credible next to some of them, but some of them were. And I just like immediately posted on social media something to the effect of like, we're all just like, there are allegations of Trump raping kids, and we're all just gonna like ignore that.
Ted Lieu said there's videos of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be so careful. Same. To not say, I know that there are allegations and then the DOJ have removed them. And I also remember there are two different ones. There's this Katie Johnson, who I remember in 2016, she was going to do a press conference. Katie Johnson's a pseudonym. And then she got spooked and didn't. But her allegations against Trump were very damning. And so anyway, I went into the files myself. What I saw was so insane. I was like, is anyone talking about this on a podcast? No one was. There's this one Epstein Files podcast. I started listening to it. I'm like, this is AI. And that's the number one Epstein Files podcast right now, by the way.
And I want to mark that. It is true. The number one podcast. It's called like the Epstein Files podcast or something. Yeah. It is just AI garbage.
It's just AI. And then there's this other one like called Insidious about Epstein that I was listening to. And it actually corroborated, now that I've been like going into the files and like I've learned stuff, like I listened to the whole thing and it's pretty accurate, but then the voice changes from like a scary man's voice. Well, they're all men's voices. Sorry, guys.
Well, we're trying to be safe. We're trying to make it safe for you here.
But like to a scary southern man's voice in the same episode. And it's just, so it's like, I don't know what is AI. It's very disorienting. And so I was just, my friend Elise, who I met at TED, which is a whole other thing, she has been wanting to do a podcast with me, and I was like, we should just do it on this. And we got it up and running really quickly. But like the ad component, I mean, we're not making any money on this, but it's on a platform where like they'll just put an ad in the middle of it.
Yes, it's they embed it. It's like from their UI.
We've had lots of like army ads, and like we have random stuff gets put in and we have no control over
it. We have to do whack-a-mole. So essentially you hear ahead of time when someone says they put some nefarious either ICE ad or US army ad. It's happened several times. And then you play whack-a-mole. You call and say, get it out of there.
Okay.
And so they go and they reach and lock it. And then you have to go and do it piece by piece.
There was one at the beginning that was either about a casino or something. And I was like, no ad. Let's not do any ads at the beginning. She's like, I can move it to the middle. Disney's pretty, that's pretty nuts.
That was wild. I was taken aback.
You should be making money for a Disney ad.
Money. Yeah. I think you make like $30. Like it's just me, Elise Hugh, and Sammy Junio is who edits our podcast. I don't mean to be so tangential, but I went to drop off my toddler at preschool pick him up. And then he was in aftercare and I knew all the kids' names, and they're not all in his class, but all the names are, you know, they're nuts.
Astaria Rillin and Magoo.
Couple Liliths.
Lilith is a really advanced name for a little toddler, you know?
Yeah.
Do you mean the ancient whore of the Bible?
Yeah. So, but I like knew everybody's names. And then the teacher's like, what are our names? And I got them, but it took me a second. And then I felt like such an asshole. And then I got all their names.
The kids are more important.
Yeah, who cares about you?
But it was like a moment where I was just like, oh my God, if I didn't rip this name out right away, I'd, you know, so sorry.
Do you do lion's mane?
What?
Lion's mane.
Mushroom
extract. Lion's mane.
Yeah.
Lion's mane helps. It really does. It helps with some word recall.
I mean, I've seen it. I've had, I was at the Flyover Festival.
Okay.
And in St. Louis. And I went to one of their farmers markets on my time off. And they had alligator meat. But then there was this random man who was growing lion's mane from his basement.
They're pretty far from alligators as well.
That's where they grow.
And I bought the lion's mane and I like took it home 2 days later and I sauteed it with butter. Your face is right. And my partner who I was dating at the time was like, I'm not eating that, but his bandmate was such a good sport and he like ate it with me, like this, like old Lion's Mane.
Wrote like four songs.
Yeah, yeah, you have to try that.
Yeah.
You got to treat it.
And then he died.
Yeah, treat it. Can I honestly ask, like, how is this? Obviously, we talked a little bit before the show. It's like my wife is also deeply obsessed. I'm obsessed. I kind of like the fact that we can come together about this, but I am hearing that it does affect. It's affecting people's homes.
Right. Well, it's the whole thing of the gardener and the rose. Like you can't have two Epstein files people.
Epstans.
Well, like the files.
Yes.
Files.
Only files. I subscribe to his only files.
Look, so we started the podcast because I just didn't see, I was reading the files and I'm like, I want to be talking about this with smart people and I want to, and in a responsible way, because there's so many conspiracy theories and you can get pulled down by like the cannibalism and the jerky and the this and the that. And I'm like, this is what they want. They want us to have information overload. They want us to either go turn into like left-wing QAnon or fully shut down. There has to be a middle road where you're like, we're not going to forget about the ICE stuff. There's a lot going on now with the war with Iran. But
Just move it to another burner. But it's there. It's on the stove.
Right. I mean, I think we can like walk and chew gum at the same time. Yes. Right. Like I think and the reason that these have activated me is because I feel like this is going to be the one thing that takes this administration down. Either, you know, the Dems sweep in the midterms or something else. I mean, I think we have to, but I think that you can't. I thought that the ICE stuff was bipartisan, meaning like I didn't think anyone could justify having these like masked men and Dean Cain terrorizing people in American cities.
Because Dean Cain, that would frighten me. Yeah. Like if I was an illegal immigrant and then Dean Cain showed up with a bulletproof vest and a machine gun, I'd be like, wow, this is very serious.
He's faster than a speeding bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, there's a way that they're spinning that, you know, and they're like our borders, blah, blah, blah. But with this shit, you cannot, like, it is such a cover up. If Trump is innocent, why are they covering it up? Yeah. Why are they redacting files that they've released? The cover up is so obvious to everyone, including Joe Rogan. So, and then the other
if it gets through his literally expanded skull from HGH, it should start to break through.
Yeah. So when I say, like, you know, I think it's what's going to take them down. If it doesn't, it's taking all of us down. Like, how do we live in a you know, work in progress democracy if we can't prosecute pedophiles?
It didn't take the Catholic Church down.
Well, Catholic Church, I almost think, is even more rich and established in a way that we can't understand because they still have God's mandate. We don't. The president.
Well, they're trying to.
Yeah, they're trying to.
But you know, they don't have a DOJ. You know, they don't have enough. The Catholic Church is like an international institution that's been around for centuries.
But they're breaking laws in America. Why aren't we allowed to arrest everyone who does it?
Yeah,
that's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to, before we get too deep in the weeds on this stuff, you've already crossed like three things I wanted to talk to you about, like in like three sentences. So, but the first thing I want to talk about with you is a lot of mysterious things keep happening to you. And I wanted to know about like how you feel about that. Like, first of all, your Twitter getting erased, this weird Epstein podcast, someone did a different version of your autobiography, and you got stopped at the border when you're coming back to America.
You're such a nice woman, dude. Yeah. You're such a nice,
the
like,
way you're
your
framing.
Your existence makes me paranoid.
Okay. The framing is very conspiratorial. They're all separate things, and they're very easy to explain.
Okay.
Sounds like somebody who's in too deep.
Stopped at the border. So that was April of last year. I was coming back from TED. I was coming from Vancouver into the U.S. The customs border is on the Vancouver side. So I had my guard down. I was chatty. And he asked me, the U.S. customs agent asked, you know, what were you doing here? I said I was doing comedy. And it was unpaid because it was TED. I had a situation at the border over a decade ago where I didn't realize that I needed to, it was a whole thing. So I wanted to make sure, like, I was doing comedy. It was unpaid because it's TED. That's a whole separate issue.
Yeah.
He said, you're a comedian. What do you joke about? I hesitated. And then he asked, do you make fun of politicians? I said no.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, you're in a situation. You're trying to get home.
Yeah, but it's also not the only thing that you do.
I know. Also, like, is it making fun of them to state facts? You know, like,
yeah.
Anyway, I didn't. I when I posted about it, I didn't say that I said no because I was nervous about, you know. I just said be careful around customs. I got through whatever.
Oh no, because we were going into Canada the next week too. We're all like, oh fuck! It's like I'm all over everything, saying like I want to burn the White House down.
Right.
Like,
well,
I'm very all over the place.
I don't say that. You know,
well, it's because you're smart.
You're smart. You're right. Yeah.
But
thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. You're
sure,
sorry. Yeah.
Sure.
Again, it's just me. It's me. Sure. You might have problems now, I guess. But.
Well, okay. So that happened. And what was so interesting, after it happened, because I remember like I got through and then I was in a bookshop and there was a guy in the bookshop. Like I was like shopping for a present for my toddler and I wanted to be like, I just was asked this at the border. And then I just didn't say anything because I'm like, I just got to get home and be safe. And, you know, and I then when I got home, a friend of mine works for Adam Schiff. And I said, hey, this just happened. And he sent me a meme that ICE had posted the previous day or around like a couple days prior that I could show it to you. It says stop at the borders, like drugs, weapons, something else and ideas. And then, and it was in Politico, they posted this on social media and then they took it down because it obviously freaked people out.
Yeah.
But I believe that he had gotten that memo and was just following orders. And so that's why that line of questioning happened. And I wasn't going to be like, yeah, I do joke about politicians, free speech.
Like
you
Trump?
Know, like,
yeah, like President Trump.
Come at me, random man without a body cam in a foreign country. You know, I have self-preservation.
Yeah.
So that happened. Okay. And then I talked about it because I couldn't not. And the funny thing is, it's like he asked me that question and I mean, it became like fodder for like the opening of my show. I do a whole bit about it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ultimate sweetest revenge.
Yeah. And I did a New Yorker piece making fun of customs. So like, it became like a gift, you know? And so that was one thing. The Twitter thing, That is messed up, but I never go on Twitter post Elon, but then I went on because I wanted to see what people on Twitter were thinking about the Epstein files. And so, and then once you're there, you're like, I gotta make an Elon joke. So I joked about how like I the files felt real just because of how much even the pedophiles didn't want to hang with Elon. Like that just felt like a real.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that was one of the favorite parts of the whole thing was that everybody else was like demure about the island, demure. And he was just like, when am I coming to the island?
It is everyone's favorite part.
Yeah. And they're like, I don't know. No amount of money. It's like the most money hungry, craven people are still like.
Your face is too fat.
You harsh the vibe.
You harsh the vibe on Pedophile Island. Yes. Man with more money than all of us combined. So I tweeted about that. And then the next day I couldn't get into my account. And I tried my password. I was like, Elon sucks 2026 was my password. And it wasn't working. And I was like, maybe this is just something's up, whatever.
Sucks with an X?
No, I spelled it correctly.
Like a real journalist.
Yeah. And then I was like, maybe it was Elon Sucks 2025. I'll check tomorrow. And when I went back to check, like even my, I actually went X-Jenna Friedman, Jenna with one N. I have to specify because there is a Jenna with two N's in the file. Anyway, I'll get back to that later. But I had to, and it said account does not exist. And then I felt like Sandra Bullock in the net.
Yeah.
And
hey, so, babe, Dennis Miller shows up.
Yeah, and so then, but then somebody, I post about it, somebody's like, no, there's this other account, like Cato AI, that has all your tweets on, and I was like, okay. And then I was able to put up another account with my name because whoever hacked it left my domain name, which is weird.
Yeah.
So I started a new account, Jenna Friedman. And then I posted and then a couple people were like, Jenna got silenced, follow her. And I was like, hi. And then I made another joke about Elon.
Yeah.
And then that account disappeared and became my name with an underscore after it. Like somehow some programmer actually changed my URL. So that was my account. But then it like deleted it. And then now my account that has my name is actually restored.
So it's weird.
It's like multiple.
Something happened.
It's actually hard to explain because it's like not just a hacker. Usually a hacker just comes in, takes your profile, and like posts like shitty phishing links.
Yeah.
But this was like multiple levels of fuckery that I'm like, how do you do this if you're not internally in the company?
I think one of the things that haunts me most about the Epstein files is that it shows that these guys, men that run the world in these institutions, seem to really have a massive amount of time on their hands. Like, what in the living fuck? I thought these guys were all super busy. How do they, how could they pay attention to you? How could, because that means
wild.
That went onto his desk, the richest man in the world, and he said, get rid of her Twitter account. Like,
yeah, they have like 30 employees compared to their social media sites. So someone had to.
Individually,
yeah, it feels like that.
Click your account, do the thing. Like, not to be anything, we're just comedians. Like, right. On the very base of us, right. Yes, we're trying to do work. But this idea of like every time a billionaire tells a comedian to go fuck himself, it makes the comedian a lot of money. Well, it does good stuff for the comedian. It's fucked.
But also, I mean, I reached out to Twitter right after and I was like, hey, can you help me with this? And the response was so swiftly like, no, I have it saved. It was just like, no, how we can't prove that you're you. And I'm like, what? Like, yes, you can. I have an ID. I have, you know, and then, I mean, people are like, well, why would you even give any money to Elon? I never gave money to Elon. That's why I didn't have two-factor authentication if I did get hacked. But also, it's like, we're comedians, like, we have, this is public record, we have to be on here, people are having conversations, politicians are making statements on here. Thomas Massie just made a statement on X that I couldn't see, I had to find it somewhere else about the files. So it's like, I'm trying to report on what's happening. And it's just crazy that you can have, and I know it's like naive, but in 2009, I made a pact with like Twitter, Jack Dorsey, where like, I gave them my intellectual property, which is a lot of dumb jokes. I had communications via DM, and in a second, because like of some billionaire's whim, all that can be erased. You have no recourse. We have no, like, we have no rights digitally, or really in reality too. I mean, it's funny to talk about digital rights when you're looking at like other shit that we don't ever, I mean, like with all the ICE shit, this is so small potatoes. But I do think for people listening and just younger generations, we have to assume that like, just get offline. Like, you have no rights. They can take all your data. They will take all your data. Those little...
You don't own anything on the internet.
You don't own anything on the internet. They're spying on you. They're listening to you at all times. They're just trying to harvest your data.
If it's free, you're the product.
Yeah. Carol Cadwaller, she broke, I think, the Cambridge Analytica story around 2016. She calls them digital rapists.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, then you...
And now we know there are also actual rapists.
Actually rapists. Yeah. Can we go back to the meta raping? You know, I feel like it's like, fine, you can have my accounts.
Right from your grave.
So you're totally invested in all of this stuff. You're going down the rabbit holes that the rest of us shouldn't have to go down, and we appreciate it. Who do you think's going to go down? Like, who's really going to go down? Like, who's definite? Wexner or?
Oh, Wexner's so old. I think.
Did you watch his deposition?
I watched the deposition. And we're talking about him. We have somebody who literally wrote a book on Wexner. She's going to be on the pod that'll be released on Friday. But
Yes.
It's either our system goes down or the sitting president goes down. And he's either going to go down by just if we can sweep in the midterms and we have a free and fair election, then maybe, you know, we can do impeachments and subpoenas and like getting people held accountable. I think Pam Bondi's got to go. Cash Patel's got to go.
But he's doing such a good job.
I know, right? Christine Noem, you know,
those three people aren't really in the files.
No, but they're
covering up. And Bondi's connection, you know, to the as Florida AG.
Oh,
is there
insane.
But I mean, Lutnick has to go.
Yes.
Like it is a cover up. It's like you don't want to say the cover up is worse than the crime, because the crime is one of the worst crimes ever. But the cover up is also a huge crime. Like, the cover up to me is a thing that's like fascinating. Like, there are tons of pedophiles everywhere you look. You know, like, we all came up in comedy.
Yes,
like, there are tons.
I got the Citizen app. Let me know all the
time. Oh my God. The Citizen app is overdoing it. I think it's overdoing it.
Yeah, you really.
I don't think it's like
three blocks from your house. Just got $5 to find out who.
This guy's a flasher. That guy's a liquor.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's not, that can't be. It can't be like, I'm like, there aren't even that many people in my neighborhood.
But your local, locally sourced farm-to-table pedophile
right.
is like your, technically, it's a lot of times it's family friends, it's people connected into the family when it's that level. But now we're also seeing there's another type of pedophile that conspiracy theories have talked about for a long time. But now we actually, it actually makes more sense of like, to be a pedophile, you would need a network. There is,
well,
you, it's very difficult to operate alone to disseminate material and make material.
Okay, so there's an entrepreneurial pedophile thing, which I, the conspiracy theories always like freak me out. Like if you're going down a rabbit hole enough and you're like the Jews did 9/11, you got to pull back. Like you're down too far. It's like,
no, everybody benefited from 9/11. Yeah. You know? Hey, listen, we all like 9/11.
I'm sure your fans are going to be like,
oh, no, they gonna, understand. Oh, they but, know that the Jewish people were warned and they all left the towers before the planes hit. We know. That goes right on the Netflix.
No. But, like, Epstein could have, like, there are, he could have just been your run-of-the-mill pedophile. But it's like the innate, all the people who enabled him on every level. Like the New York Times did a really good piece about all the doctors that helped him when he had like an orgy to females. I say female because it's so funny. The only other person who says female is Cannibal Cop callback. He'd be like the female from, but it's like, but I don't know if they're of age, so I don't want to call them women. And I don't know if they're girls.
I default to child.
I just default to child.
I just default to that they're at least 16.
But there is like that whole thing of like journalistic responsibility.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I know. You're much more responsible, Jim.
But I'm trying to, because it's so easy to misstep, and I'm sure I will misstep. So I'm trying to like be as responsible as I can. So if they were of age, they were of age. But either way, I think that Bruce Moskowitz, I think the doctor from Palm Beach, there's like an email where he tells Epstein, you know, have them get their test at a public health clinic so that I don't have to report them when I report you because he tested positive for gonorrhea and you have to report as a doctor. I don't want their name showing up with your name. And it's like that level of complicity and assistance.
Well, just the looking out for Jeff. All of these people looking out for Jeff, which means Jeff
was cool.
Look at him. You saw
people
his outfits.
People loved him.
They loved him.
Nobody loves Trump.
Nobody. No. Right? We were even joking about this. We're like, Epstein has so much support and friendship.
He had such social capital. And yes, he had regular capital. And you could see how he's paying for gifts for everybody from Kathy Ruemmler to, you know, everyone else. He's just giving them money. He's
Peggy
giving them money.
Peggy Siegel was just his friend.
Dude,
his
Peggy
relationships
Siegel.
Were his currency.
Yeah, but he sustained them.
That Peggy Siegel stuff is fascinating.
Tell me about it, would you?
That is a whole, she's a PR agent and works a lot in the Broadway world.
Did she ever invite you to stuff?
No, no.
I was, so in like 2017 and 18, before the connection, I think the connection between her that I saw was like around the pandemic, because I remember seeing that and being so bummed, because somehow I got on Peggy Siegel's list and I would just get invited to stuff like the Veep premiere, Lady Bird, just randomly. And I'm like, what is this? Like, why does she think I'm someone else? Maybe.
I mean, but she was the one that said, she told Epstein, number one, that like, you know, Timothy Shamalama Ding Dong had to give up his payment for the Woody Allen movie.
She was oversharing with him in all these emails. I mean, I haven't done the deep dive on her yet. But like the way that she talked to him, it was like an oversharey publicist. She's doing this all in email, but she's really like
gossiping
like crazy, and then forwarding him like the allegiance that people had to him. So many people would like forward something to him like that they didn't even have to. Like they'd have a clip. Oh, Michael Wolff.
Oh my God, that fucker.
Yeah.
I do not like that man.
Forwarding stuff to Epstein that you don't even have to. Epstein's not going to know. It's like he had this power over everyone, and it must have been money, but it must have been something else. Like he could really.
Well, he also loved The Lion King. Jeffrey Epstein saw The Lion King.
Well, it's a great film.
The stage play. But
my toddler's so
well,
into
play.
That right now.
Oh, yeah. My family. Same taste.
Are you saying Julie Taymor? Is
yes.
it?
So he was obsessed with Julie Taymor's The Lion King. He saw it at least a dozen times. And it was one of the things that he would do to impress girls, where he'd be like,
take
wanna
go to
the
children's play?
Hey, you want to go to Lion King?
And then like serendipity for like...
Yeah, for the like the gold leaf ice cream. Yeah, and then take and then draw, and then he obviously then you have to spend time writing quotes from Lolita on their legs. That takes time. You know that. You know that, Jenna. You've worked with some of the greats.
So he went to, you're saying he went to the Lion King constantly?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's better than Mary Poppins.
You know what I want to say?
But you
I
know what he know said he... about Trump too, right? He said Trump was like one of the worst people he's
most
ever.
Most evil, yeah.
Oh, he's scared of Trump. He was very scared of Trump.
Well, I think killed him, so it helps.
I legitimately think what we're seeing is that, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be careful about it, but I know that they deleted those the 50-page deposition.
Yeah, 53 pages.
Yeah, about Trump's actual physical actions.
Also, people need to know, I didn't mean to cut you off, but people need to know that Trump is not emailing in the files because Trump doesn't email and didn't email.
He's this is the
and
thing.
He had a falling out with Epstein in around 2000 whenever I'm not exactly sure, but it was before the emails. The emails are from like, you know, 29 to like a little onward, like a decade on to like 2019 or 20 something.
Yes,
around then.
Yes.
But Trump's falling out with Epstein was before that and he didn't email. So as much as he is in the files, it's not as indictable because he didn't actually send emails to Epstein himself.
He specifically doesn't write things down.
Right.
Which is obviously the behavior of an innocent president.
Right, right, right. It's mafia shit.
Yeah, because most presidents want you to remember every word they say.
They have libraries.
Yeah. They write them all down. Right. And there's jobs are to track everything that you say.
In Bill Clinton's deposition, he said I listened to that as much as I could. You know, I do have a toddler and other work that actually pays me that I have to do. So I'm trying. Why are you laughing?
You do have to not just listen to Bill Clinton talk for hours.
My poor toddler's just like, Mom, I need love.
The toddler's going, I feel your pain.
I'm like, I don't want him to become one of these guys. So I really do have to give him love. But and now I'm blaming moms for their son. So forget that. Cut. Okay.
Yeah. We know moms are to blame. I'm sorry. Jen is finally saying some really good stuff on the show. It's just so nice to have some real uncut talk.
What was his mother like?
You were talking about Clinton.
Clinton has only sent two emails, according to his deposition. One was to John Glenn when he landed on the moon, and the other was to soldiers in Kosovo. And I was like, what? And because we don't really have like an active like media ecosystem, I'm like reporting on this. So why am I obsessed with this? It's a way to look at the news. It's a lens through which to look at the news. I've been wanting to talk about politics for a while. I had my mom die 3 years ago and I had a kid and it's just been like a kind of heady time for me. So yeah. It's like this feels like a way to talk about the news that's like niche, but also everything. So it's like we can, you know, on the podcast, it's like we do the updates just related to Epstein. Like we entered into a war with Iran. Well, how do you connect that to Epstein? Thomas Massie thinks it's a distraction from the files. We're not going to debate whether or not what Epstein's motive. Trump. We're not going to debate what Trump's motivations were because it doesn't matter what judging from the past, something that serves him probably, but it doesn't matter what his motivations are. It's not going to stop us from doing this thing.
I don't think the Iranian invasion is going to do what he wants it to. I think that a lot of people are already, I mean, like, it was a big deal, but I don't believe it's going to distract people from this files. I think that
it's not for the files, it's for the election. It's a different
right,
it's another
right.
game.
Right.
Yes. Another
right.
game.
He's trying to keep everyone in office so we don't have to have an election.
Right,
because
war. It's
weren't we in war for like 20 years and had elections?
Republicans do this, you know, that this isn't the, like they start wars, you know.
Yeah, he's bombed 8 countries.
God.
So
I wish, I need an army.
I wanted to ask you a question because there's a lot of things about this. Henry's more of an expert. I'm more of a, I need to know things and people need to tell me. What is Melania's real connection to Epstein?
Very good question.
From what I understand, she was one of the models, I'll say that nicely, who...
yeah.
You know, they're...
A model.
Well, there was a whole apparatus of models that they brought over. And they brought over a lot for like nefarious purposes where you think you're coming here for modeling opportunities and then you're trafficked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So from what I've seen, she was one of Epstein's girls. Okay. I don't know what that means. And then ended up like there. I think there's an email of like the first time she hooked up with Trump on the plane.
I remember that because that was the term he came out and he said, what a great piece of ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know that she modeled.
Yeah.
And but she, it was like through, I believe it was through Epstein. So was she? Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know anything else. I don't. The whole intelligence stuff, like, is above my, like, I just, I, it's very hard to corroborate that. The whole point of, like, saying someone works for some intelligence agagency is, like, there's no way any of us can corroborate it.
Yeah, and they do, they specifically choose sketchy people a lot of times, too, so that they can dump them. They can scrape them off.
And the allegation of Epstein working for, like, any intelligence, I do believe, you know, like, Hillary in her deposition was, like, I was targeted by Russia, Russian intelligence. Epstein, from, again, my understanding, is that he didn't need to work for one intelligence agency. He had it seemed like he might have, you know, the way that he curried favor with everyone, maybe he did that with intelligence, but I don't think he worked for like one agency. I don't know. That is like hard for me to say because I haven't seen anything. And also I listened to the interview with Julie K. Brown and David Remnick, and I'm just parroting what she said. And she's one of the people who's been reporting on this very extensively for a very long time. Now, was Trump bankrupt in the 80s and then given money by Russian, potentially mobsters?
No.
Well, they were staying in Trump Tower.
And the thing about Trump, and I remember like hoping that the tax returns would come out, and I do believe there was an Epstein email where he's like, everything's in Trump's taxes. Like all of, and Trump never releases tax returns. Because it shows that, and then like the Trump connection with Deutsche Bank, the two people who, like the bankers at Deutsche Bank who like died or killed them. There's so much sketchy shit around Trump. I can't believe that he even was able to run in 2016 with all the dirt on him that was already public record.
Well, that was the first thing that busted an idea about, you know, massive conspiracy theories in my mind. Because I was like, in 2016, I was like, there's no way the capital S system was going to let Trump win. Like, Hillary Clinton was supposed to win, right? Like, that was all, if the system really rigs it.
Yeah, they asked Bernie for a reason.
Yes, Hillary Clinton would have won. But so obviously there is something to voting that is in there that they can somehow, like, the TV man won. That's how he won, is that he was he was literally ubiquitous with pop culture for about 40 years, and then we kind of maybe, we seem to have uneducated ourselves to a point as a society where we were just like, TV man's fun, I want TV man to be president man.
Yeah, there was also, I mean, there was mainstream reporting that came out, so don't shoot the messenger, about, like, Kremlin-backed money supporting Bernie's campaign, just dividing the left, like, to divide the left.
Oh, he probably didn't even know where that money came from.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe...
It's like, only $33, so it's fine.
It went towards his suit.
I'm also going to ask the Russian intelligence to send someone money.
I like borscht soup. What am I supposed to do?
I wonder if we're actually in a better spot because, obviously, we aren't Russia or China yet, right? Our media, in many ways, is a really hard genie to get back in the bottle. Our independent way of talking out to the internet and do is actually extremely difficult to clamp down now. So we have more information than ever, which is part of the reason why I think the current con with the Iranian invasion and all these guys coming out and talking and literally not even giving us a reason why and just kind of blowing it all through. I think that the hypocrisy itself is finally starting to sort of come to the surface because there's too much information accessible for us to not see that you're wrong and you're lying.
Okay. So I think a couple things. I think our media ecosystem is very broken and potentially beyond repair. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that it's so fragmented. When you have people like Joe Rogan and Andrew Schultz forming public opinion, it's really, really scary.
But it seems like the problem then is the problem not the public that they're forming around them.
Well, we're not an educated population. We don't have media literacy, which is huge. And, you know, like, I want to agree with you that, like, people can have access to information, but there's information overload, there are unreliable messengers, and then, like, with what happened on Twitter, it's like our platforms can just be taken away in a heartbeat. So there's the local news apparatus is going away, but that's really, like, people digging in their communities, having trusted sources, and, like, working together. I mean, all that's kind of going away. Like, the cable news, the local news, local cable news, but the local news...
Yeah.
Being, you know, gutted is really bad for democracy. And so, yeah, people might have access to information. You know, it could be information overload where then they just tune out because there's just too much misinformation and it's really hard to sift through. And again, that's partly why I started the podcast, because I'm like going into the files and I'm like, I'm going crazy. And then I'd go on Twitter and I'd see some AI shit and I would fall for it. And I'd be like, I feel like this, for someone who is like emotionally vulnerable, like this could trigger psychosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People, and then, you know, and then I just had to step back and bring on a journalist and be like, okay, like, let's just focus on, like, what are the indictable claims? Like, what are the, what can we investigate? Who can we put pressure on to unredact things? Get the actual information out there, investigate the claims, and then prosecute the people who are criminals.
Yeah.
Hold them accountable.
Now, when it comes to Trump, doesn't he not have full immunity? Because of what got passed right before he became president?
Well, yeah, he's... I think it's supposed to be immunity for acts considered under the guise of the presidency.
Okay. All right. So he doesn't have just full presidential immunity. Like, all presidents, you can't arrest
anymore. Right, right. You can't indict a sitting president.
But also, I mean, good luck. Seriously.
But I don't think it's... I mean, when I say that this is going to take Trump down, I think if it's going to take him down, it's going to be by, like, you know, flipping, like, the House and the Senate in the midterms. And then if that doesn't happen, I don't know. I mean...
I think he's going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, time. I forgot about time. Father Time.
Father Time. I think that Father Time is the really only thing that can really come into play here. And I think that, thankfully, because normally bastards live forever. Yeah. Like my fucking piece of shit cunt grandmother lived till she was 95 years old. Yeah. She just hung on.
I heard Cheney's back alive.
Yeah, I think
Cheney's alive.
But I think that, yeah, normally people with no souls live for a long time, but I do also think that he's just so unhealthy that there's only so much evil that can keep him alive.
We'll see. His father lived to, what, 95 or something?
But at least by then, he really was just tapioca with pubic hair.
I mean, but he can, Trump can, that's great. That's a great visual. And
Sable as a beautiful Siberian horse.
Yeah.
Ah.
But I also think like worse than Trump are like J.D. Vance and Thiel, and they're kind of like running the ship. So
Thiel's the most terrifying person in this country.
He's terrifying.
To me.
Nothing will. And the only thing that heartens me is that none of them were a television producer, though. J.D. Vance is going to get torn to pieces.
Well, that's where I think the files come back in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's like when Trump is out of the picture, like no one else who doesn't have Trump's appeal can justify any of this shit.
It's going to be difficult. And that's why we need The Rock.
That's right.
And I hope that Dwayne Johnson can take up the torch and be the next unbelievably crooked president.
I have one final question for you, Jenna. October 14th in Florida is now Charlie Kirk Remembrance Day. How will you be celebrating?
Oh, my God. Are you trying to get me death threats? Okay, wait.
Yeah! We did it all this episode! Yay!
Who is Charlie Kirk?
Thank you.
Because if I were like a professional media troll, I was just like, who are you talking about? I missed the news that day. I don't know who that
is. I'll answer your question with another question. What is a woman?
I mean, I live in California. It's like whatever you want it to be. I mean, whatever.
Wow. That's incredible. You're so lucky.
Thank you so much, Jenna, for coming by. Jenna Friedman, listen to the Epstein Files Book Club. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts with Elise Hugh. Jenna Friedman on Instagram and, of course, Motherfucker. Go see Motherfucker. It's going to be in L.A. on April 8th and Austin on April 10th.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you, Jenna.
Live from your grave.
Well, how about that, huh? 40 minutes of pure Epstein. I could talk about it for longer. I could keep going.
I need that like basic baseline info that we just got. That's very important for me. I feel like I like advanced past like
we did.
I'm just reading his emails and like I'm pretending I'm him.
But also, funnily enough, she brought up the whole dental angle.
Yes.
And I think that that is going to be a massive part of this story with Karina Shuliak connecting all of these. Because like I was just researching another thing that they were talking about, another massive pedophile that would use dental care as a way to get in. And this makes a lot of sense for young women. Like, it's like, I remember when I met Natalie, she was suffering from horrific dental problems.
Yeah.
And that was like one of those things where it was really hard for her and was
got, so like, fucking expensive.
And everything's out of pocket if you don't have the insurance. And yeah. So I think that he would find beautiful women. I think he would find beautiful women. And
dental
he would,
hygienist?
Yes. But I think he would use it on beautiful women. I would say, I'm going to make your teeth good so you can be a model.
I was going to say, because dental hygienists are notoriously very attractive.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I actually, you know,
Right?
Sometimes.
I think so.
I actually find, I mean, my dental, the two hygienists I work with are more so like kind of older.
Yeah.
So older women.
Well, you know, tenure.
Well, yeah, you're like a seasoned woman. All right, let's get into one listener email.
I love listener emails. Do we have a stinger? Sorry, I threw that on you, Rob.
Good work.
Yeah. I got this this one that we really liked. You know, the
yeah.
Old,
let's do it again. Yeah. Let's
do
it.
We don't gotta always do a new one.
Are you ready, Eddie?
Yes.
Are you horny, Henry?
Yes. Sure.
Sure.
Now it's time for listener emails.
Yes, we got one of these. We got actually a bunch of these on this subject about the 11-year-old being tried as an adult.
Okay.
There's some people that have, I definitely saw some people were like, oh, he should have treatment and not jail. I understand.
Yes.
But I also got several emails that I thought were interesting that were basically being like, 11-year-olds are dangerous.
So are you going to read the ones that make you sound right or the ones that make me sound right?
That's the best part. So I can do anything I want. But no, this is interesting. It's because really it was just more about juveniles tried as an adult.
Yeah.
It really depends on where you're at.
In Florida, I remember when my buddy was murdered by another young man. That guy was tried as an adult, but he like tied him to a tree and shot him in the head. And so that was
the
like,
government?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Bleep his name. I don't need him coming to find me again.
Yeah, come on. Let's get it.
I think he's out now.
Go good. Oh, let's have him on the show. So just want to let you know about the case of Clayton Dietz, the 11-year-old who confessed to killing his father, can be transferred to juvenile court. It's currently an adult court because in the state of Pennsylvania, all murder charges, regardless of the age of the offender, start an adult court. Most states have a minimum statutory age at which a person can be tried as an adult. And the youngest age any state has written into law is 12.
Okay.
Pennsylvania is the only state that automatically sends all homicides to adult court. And if somebody under the age of 15 is convicted as an adult, the maximum sentence allowable is life with the possibility of parole after 25 years. So essentially, this is an example. In 2009, an 11-year-old Pennsylvania boy was initially charged as an adult with killing his dad's fiance. But that was when he was sent to juvenile court where he was found delinquent and sent to a juvenile facility where he has to stay until the age of 21. So this is one of those, it goes back and forth. He will be essentially tried as an adult, and then he could be sentenced as an adult, but they essentially, what they'll do is no matter what, he will be put in a youth wing or at a very high security juvenile center until he's like 18. Then he goes,
well, serves. You said 21.
That's one case. That was a previous case.
Oh, okay.
But he probably will go to like 18, then go to jail up until the 25-year marker hits, and then he can go up for parole.
Yeah, so at earliest, he's getting out at 36.
Yes. If he gets it, if they throw the book at him.
Oh, man, no fucking chance at a decent life.
No.
Damn.
No, but hey, you know, the problem is that he... I've come around a little bit more about the idea that obviously kids don't know what they're doing. Adults don't know what they're doing. You don't have a fucking solid brain until you're 25 years old. I completely understand that.
Yeah.
It's just, what do you do? And I had several emails also said about the idea that kids are kind of intense right now.
Very much so. Very much. You know what the crazy part about this is if he missed, almost nothing would happen.
Yeah.
if he missed, we would probably wouldn't even know about it. The dad would have just taken the gun from him and fucking putting it back in the suitcase, slapped him around a little bit. And
is that what you do? I feel like that. If my son attempts,
I think if a kid fires a gun at you, you're allowed to hit him.
You can hit him? You
think of that, one time.
Wow, I'd love to get this email. I can't wait for these emails. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. When's it okay to hit a child?
When they fire a gun at you. Actually, you know what? My dad hit me exactly once, and it was when I pulled the steering wheel out of his hand, and I still think he's right.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those.
Like, we were driving, I pulled the steering wheel, we almost crashed, he hit me. I never pulled the steering wheel out of anyone else's hand the rest of my life. Gross. I have no intentions of doing that, even to the rudest Uber drivers.
I was watching something last night. What was I watching? Where it was like kids attacking somebody, and I was doing that, being like, no, this would have happened if someone gave one of these children a whooping. That's what they need to do is give his child a whoop.
I know. I know.
I obviously
don't hit kids. But I did a whole fucking thing about it.
My thing is, if he shot at you and he missed, yeah, I guess you do have to beat him within an inch of his life, only just because you can't come for the king and miss.
That's the thing.
Never try to kill your father and not get it. Right? Exactly, you better kill me, son.
Remember.
Or do you tell him that? Or do you take the gun and play Russian roulette with the son, right? And you tell him you're playing Russian roulette, but you lie to him, right?
Yeah.
And you set it all up, and then you get him ready, and you make him pull it a couple of times, and then until you're certain that it would be one bullet left, right? And he's crying shit, and he's crying stuff. And then you take the gun out of his hands, and he's like, this is why you don't fuck with your father.
There you go. See? And people said we...
And you didn't hit him. You didn't hit him once.
You should be a dad.
You know how many people
tell
Henry and I that we should be dads?
I'm a girl dad.
We have these type of conversations all the time. We have made the right decision to not be fathers.
Well, this is all about...
Stop trying to convince Henry and I to be fathers.
Also, this is us as single fathers. You have to remember, this is us with no feedback.
Also, yeah. I mean, yeah. So but I do find it crazy that if he missed, he still would have the same intention.
What? He'd get a stern talking to for me.
I know, but I'm just saying his whole life is destroyed because he's a good shot.
Yeah, that is the main issue.
Could have been John Wick.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the main issue. No, he did it point blank. He wasn't a good shot.
Yeah. Well, I fucking still hope for the best for this little fucker.
I'm afraid of him. But
definitely
I was still
afraid of him. Don't want him in the room. But I do want someone who cares to take care of him.
He's just very obviously an 11-year. He's just very obviously an 11-year-old boy.
Yes.
And he probably should. There's got to be something else going on there. And we also do. I still don't think anything necessarily happened to the father. I don't think the father did anything. I did get also an interesting email from somebody that
I think his
foster's
prison nickname
kids.
Should be Scary Potter.
Cute. That's fun.
You hear that, prison?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, call him Scary Potter.
That's for free.
Call him Scary Potter. Tell him Eddie sent you.
Enjoy. But also, someone said in the foster system that you can also see the kid was adopted. There are kids that are, they have known nothing but betrayal from adults.
Mm.
You know, there is that. If you've been adopted, you've been betrayed by somebody. And now you've been refound and you're loved, but you had to deal with somebody saying, I don't want you know it anymore. Yeah. And I think that is hard.
It is hard. And the foster system, you know, it's a very, like, thankless place where a lot of people take advantage of everything. And then even the fucking band sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Foster the people?
Tell me.
Garbage.
Also, I'm not fostering people.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I foster the children. Foster the dogs. Even a cat, if you have to.
Wow.
Not people. Assholes.
Well, this has been a great episode.
Last Comic Book on the Left is a new thing out, right?
Go check that out. Go and get Last Comic Book on the Left. We are on a server at Z2 Comics. This is the fun.
It has nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with him.
It has nothing to do with me.
But I forgot how good this shit is. Go pre-order it right now.
Can you tease what's in it at all? What stories are
you
reading
about? The incredible conclusion to my story on Detective Popcorn that we did with the incredible writer, Elliot Rohal.
How long has the cliffhanger been?
Dude, you'll see.
Like, no, what I'm saying, when the last thing come out? Like, it's got to be like 4 years.
Yeah.
Long time. This is like since before my tenure.
Yeah, bro.
So people have been waiting for this shit.
Yeah. So you go out there and you're going to get this. This is the conclusion to the whole thing. Last Comic Book on the Left 4.
Is it available in stores? Or do they have to go to some weird cryptic
website where they can only watch like Z2 three Comics, guys, one hammer.
You got to go to Z2Comics.com. Go and
Google it.
Check it out. You'll get it. Last comic book on the left, volume 4, Z2Comics.com.
Also, we got a really fun thing happening in 2 weeks. This is extremely limited. So if you want to be a part of this, jump on top. Tickets are on sale on March 25th. Henry and I are leading 2 tours through the Mystic Museum.
It's going to be fun.
Out here in Burbank. We're literally, it's going to be, you can get tickets at themysticmuseum.com, themysticmuseum.com for tickets. Get them there. It's, we're leading 2 tours at 6:30 and 7:30. There's like 15 people each tour.
Dude, it's going
to
be fun.
It's going to be very hard to get these tickets. If you want to come see this, it's going to be really stupid. We take you through a bunch of horror movies, and we're going to make fun of it. It's going to be a blast, and we're going to have Eric from the Mystic Museum is going to be walking around with us, so whenever we say something incorrect, he'll correct us.
It's going to have, so we're going to have a lot of fun. Come and check it out.
It's going to be very chaotic. Get very high. Get maybe eat some mushrooms. There's some scary shit in there. There's
you'll be scared.
There's lots of like bloody scenes from horror movies. It's very silly, and we're going to have a blast. Doing this. That's going to be in Burbank at the Mystic Museum, March 25th at 6:30 and 7:30. Get your tickets at themysticmuseum.com. And also, the week after that, on Good Friday, you can check out Amber and I at the Lyric Hyperion. That's going to be on April 3rd at 7 p.m. Go and get tickets there. Also, Crime Wave at Sea is happening.
Dude, come out to Crime Wave at Sea 2.0. We are going to have so much fucking fun. You can pay for it over the year. Come and join us on the high seas. Last year we did it. It was a fucking blast.
It was insane. I think we got a lot of repeat customers, so it's going to be, we're definitely going to be switching up our show. It's not going to be the same thing we did last year.
Oh, yeah. We're doing an entirely different thing. We're going to have so much fun.
Yeah, so
Crime Wave at Sea.com/last.
That's right, baby. Go get that shit. And Indy and Urbana, we'll see you this weekend. I can't wait to fucking eat your sausage and party and poop up all your bathrooms. It's going to be a blast. And I wanted to give a nice shout out. We have a new employee here at Side Stories.
Yes!
Pat Barker joining us, helping us with research and some humor. Thank you, buddy, for coming on board. I'm very excited to see what would happen.
As you can see, we're already better, aren't we?
Yes, we're already better. I think we did nothing that he gave us.
Nothing.
That's great. It's a good investment.
That's life. Welcome to life. We'll be back.
I still love him.
We'll be back in there. Don't you worry. You live every day knowing for a fact that Side Stories comes every week no matter what you do, right? And you laugh at us. You're going to laugh at us because we're the funniest thing on Netflix since Come and See. Yeah. And you're just going to just love giving it up to Jenna Friedman.
Oh, right? Man. I love fuckers. You guys. Bye, everybody. Hail Be it. Good to yourself. Hail Tommy Takara, the great voice of Boston the Band. He died. That first album rocks. It's all hits.
Feels like the first time.
Dude, I love that fucking song. It's a musical like journey through sex.
First time.
Tommy DiCarlo, adios. You had a beautiful, high-pitched voice.
I hope you finally lose your virginity in heaven.